I'm Rachel New, and I am literally on my last legs in the wild throes of perimenopause, like millions of other women in the UK and worldwide.
The knowledge is power in the menopause, and the sooner you can start to change your lifestyle because that helps, then the easier it will be.
This podcast is going to lift the lid on that whole messy, confusing journey with plenty of lols, tears, and WTFs along the way.
And he said, I could tell that you weren't my mum anymore. You weren't the mum that I loved. So Laura and I lost our way for about 4 years because he stayed with Dad. That broke my heart.
Leslie Byrne is the founder of the Facebook group Is It Hot In Here, which she started in 2016 because she knows only too well how lonely and daunting the menopause can be. We talk a lot about journeys in the 21st century, but I think it's fair to say since her menopause began, Leslie has been backpacking her way through some really, really difficult territory. But I suspect that she has enjoyed some breathtaking moments along the way as well. I'm very excited to welcome her to On My Last Eggs Now. Hello, Leslie Byrne. How are you?
Good morning, Rachel. I'm very well, thank you.
So I know that it's been a 13-year journey for you so far with the menopause. Take me back to the beginning where I think you didn't actually know you were in menopause, but it already had some catastrophic effects on your life, didn't it?
Like many women, my first signs really of thinking I may be in the menopause was getting hot flushes. And at the time, I was 46. And equally, I thought that was too young because in my head, menopause women were over 60. The next thing I did was ask my mum, actually, when she went through the menopause. And she had actually gone through the menopause herself around 46, 47. So I went to my doctor to see if there's any way he could diagnose whether I was in the menopause or not. And he said, well, we can take a blood test. He said that I was possibly perimenopausal from the blood test. And he immediately said to me, there is HRT, but you do know it can cause breast cancer. Literally those words. Well, for me, that was it. I wasn't interested in HRT. I'm the sort of person who is quite risk averse. When I had a baby, I wouldn't have an epidural in case I was paralysed from the waist down. So no way was I taking something that was going to give me breast cancer. I left the surgery without any medication and just decided to try and get on with it. And so for 2 or 3 years, it was hot flushes. My periods had practically all but stopped, still having the odd period. I wasn't actually sure whether I was or whether I wasn't. So the next thing that happened really was that my marriage started to go off the rails, and we were very happily married. But he turned around to me one day and said, why are you so bloody miserable all the time? Go and get yourself a life. Because he went out socially. He had his hobbies with his friends, went out drinking, where I just stayed in and watched telly, drinking wine, which, you know, isn't the greatest thing, but hey. And so what I decided to do was join a running club and go out and started socialising. And our lives kind of started to go in different directions. The physical side of our relationship had all but gone. The last 3 years of the marriage, there wasn't any physical side. And, you know, that was upsetting because he thought I'd gone off him. I didn't think I'd gone off him, but I just wasn't interested in sex. It was the last thing on my mind. So it just became a very, very broken down sort of communicative relationship. He worked shifts, which didn't make life easy either. And we just kind of drifted, really. And it was very upsetting in the end, really, to find that we just couldn't find any way back from it. And I just became more and more miserable. He became more miserable. We got a daughter at the time, and she was 16. And family outings I didn't go out on. And I just became very withdrawn, going to work, coming home, going upstairs, watching telly, drinking wine. But yeah, eventually the marriage failed. And that was really, really upsetting for all. You know, my husband said I'd taken away his future. Constantly lived with the guilt that I was the one that had caused the marriage to end.
First of all, I'm really sorry you live with that guilt. You know, I've been married and divorced twice, and I know that marriages end for a very complex set of reasons. So please don't blame yourself. But do you think now that back in 2009, if you'd had a more sympathetic and better equipped GP and you had not been so scared of HRT and you'd had HRT, do you think now that that might have, you know, might have been a very different journey with your marriage?
Absolutely. Because I did go for some counselling and my husband used to take me, but he'd sit outside and he wouldn't even ask when I came out how it had gone. If I could have explained to him why my personality had changed, yes, I think we could have done it together. Through the work I've done since with the menopause group, lots of women have found, I've found ways to coach women onto how they can bring it up with their husbands and even their children, because, you know, so many children end up with a mother who's shrieking at them all day and it makes them back off. I mean, many years later, when Laura and I found our way back to each other, which is another part of my story, he said to me that the house was very sterile and it wasn't a bad atmosphere and it wasn't a good atmosphere. There was just no atmosphere. And he said, I could tell that you weren't my mum anymore. You weren't the mum that I loved. So Laura and I lost our way for about 4 years because he stayed with Dad. And that was that broke my heart, because it to be a child, you know, when you leave, not to say, can I come with you, Mum? You know, it almost, there wasn't ever the question, will you come with me? You know, and it wasn't because I didn't want him to come and live with me. I just felt isolated and ostracised by both of them.
Oh, I'm really sorry to hear that. And I'm sorry how much that still hurts. So let's fast forward from the beginning of your menopause journey to 2016. And you work for West Midlands Police, don't you?
That's correct, yes.
And you joined a menopause group at work, is that right?
Yes, that's right. The usual, like, I was in a training meeting and said, gosh, I'm hot. Because I was an analyst at one point, I set up an Excel spreadsheet to monitor my hot flushes. And they were every 45 minutes on the dot. And I recorded what I was doing before I had one. And it was always like a mini stressful situation, like the phone ringing, even though that might not be stressful, but somehow that made me get a hot flush. Yeah, so I joined the group and I was a little bit nervous because you kind of going into a room where you don't know anybody. I mean, West Midlands Police obviously is massive. And I'd never talked to anybody about my menopause. Because people didn't, who talks about the menopause, really? It's something people don't want to talk about. Either they're not interested or they find it invasive or personal. I walked into the room and it was like a conference room and there was women dotted around this large table. The minute the lady who ran it at the time, Chief Inspector Linda Bailey, started talking and people were joining in, I thought, wow. I just felt like this virtual arm had come round my shoulder and they were talking about things that I hadn't appreciated, like their personality changing, like not being able to sleep, feeling depressed, anxious about the most stupid things. I got frightened of driving. I panicked every time I parked. I thought at times, especially with my memory, I even went to the doctors and asked if I might have an onset of Alzheimer's. I really was afraid that something, I didn't know what was wrong with me. And yet all of those things were because I was in the menopause and I had absolutely no idea. And it was such a relief. I kind of like opened the door nervously and kind of went, hi, yes, I'm Leslie. I work in such and such a department, and sat quite quietly and just listened. And I think they started passing something like vaginal moisture cream round. I'm like, what, you know? It kind of broke the ice in that way. But also there were ladies who cried in there when they talked about their experience, and ladies who sat there and said nothing at all and just clearly were just taking in the information. And prior to that, I'd kind of thought, I wonder if I could start a Facebook group about the menopause. But I thought, no, it's too personal. Nobody will join. Nobody will be interested. But when I walked out that room, it just gave me the confidence to do it, because I thought, if I help just one woman save her marriage, because mine didn't survive, sadly. I went home and I thought, how do I start this Facebook group? And I thought, I know. So I went through all my female friends, I think it was 70, that I thought fitted the brief. Although, whilst there is, you know, the average age of 51, I thought, I know about early menopause, and I know a lady who's in her 80s and still in the menopause and taking HRT. So I thought, well, I'll pick this sort of little group out. I sent like a message to them all and said, right, I'm doing this. I won't be offended if you leave. And I went to work and I sat at work. I thought, I'm not going to look. And I thought, I'm going to get home. There'll be about three people left in the group. I think there was still 70. Some people had sent me messages saying, oh, thank you so much. I think I'm a bit young. And I didn't know enough then to say, well, actually, the earlier you start to learn, I would say from 40 onwards, at least, the knowledge is power in the menopause. And the sooner you can start to change your lifestyle, because that helps, that the easier it will be. Yes, some ladies sail through it. As my mother said, we never talked about it in my day. So I don't know what you're making all this fuss about. But I remember my mum, four children. She was hateful at times. I used to be scared of the hairbrush. You know, it is about learning. So that was in May 2016. And it kind of went from strength to strength. You know, I got to my first 100, then 500, and it's now at 1,300. What I love about my group, because there's many, many fantastic groups out there, is that I like to think of it as a virtual sofa, and that people can just come in the room, sit down, grab a coffee, read a bit of information. They don't have to see somebody face to face if they don't want to. They don't have to interact. You know, I've had men come up to me and said, my missus is always on your page. And she said, oh, look what Leslie's done now. Oh, that means so much to me.
So I joined your group about 2 years ago, I think. And I wasn't really sure whether, you know, I think I only really acknowledged my symptoms or went to the GP about 3 years ago when I was 51. And I still haven't, you know, properly menopaused. I'm still peri, and I still have a horrible suspicion there's worse things yet to come. But I was very tentative at that point. You know, I was like, I don't know what I'll get out of this group. I don't know. And then you read what, you know, you read other people's stories and you think, oh, I'm really lucky I haven't got it as bad. But then you also, you know, the itchiness, which is a bit of a, you know, I always feel it's a bit of a joke, because like, how bad is that just to be itchy all over? But it drives me nuts. And, yeah. As, you know, it's, when you see someone in the group say, oh, you know, I'm really itchy, is that a you know, a menopause thing? It's really nice to be able to go, oh yeah. I mean, you obviously want to tell them how to get rid of it, and that can be hard, but it's nice to be able to join in. But I think the age thing is really important as well, because it is difficult to, you know, with this show approaching guests, you think, oh, I'm going to offend somebody by saying, you know, do you want to be on a podcast about menopause when they're only 45, you know, or 41 or something. But I think, you know, you're right, it is just around the corner, and forewarned is forearmed. And my biggest goal is to get a Spice Girl on here, because the Spice Girls, one of them must be perimenopausal by now, right?
Absolutely.
If not full on menopause, they've got to be. There's five of them. One of them's got to be having a rough old time.
yeah, definitely.
So I think, you know, whereas you might feel bad approaching a Spice Girl to ask them to be on a menopause podcast, it comes to us all.
You know, what's the worst thing that can happen? You know, so I talk about bright sides. I challenge people to defy me to find a bright side in their situation.
We've talked a little bit about Leslie's Facebook group, Is It Hot In Here? A group that really has helped to support so many women. And we thought it'd be nice to hear from some of them and their brighter sides of menopause. So, ready for a positivity hit?
The brighter side of menopause. Well, for me, the brighter side of menopause is feeling more comfortable in my own skin, not giving a hoot about what people think about me anymore, and becoming very happy with the person that I am.
Daring to get a camper van, embracing the quirkier sides of my nature and personality, touring the UK with a Make Menopause Matter poster on the back window of Broomstick. That's the name of my camper van.
No PMT, no constant periods and endometriosis,
fantastic HRT estrogen to help with menopause symptoms.
No periods is a plus, and no worries about getting pregnant, but then you don't feel like sex anyway.
It's a wake-up call also for the future, because you realise that life is short, but we still have got a long way ahead of us, and this is just the beginning.
I'm perfect just as I am, and I am exactly where I'm supposed to be.
Oh, that was just what we needed to hear, eh? Your bright side. And now let's carry on our chat with the delightful Leslie Byrne. We'll talk more about this, but I think it's important at this point to say that your daughter is now your son because he's transgender. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about your son.
Yeah.
And let's talk about your son's menopause journey. And I didn't think when I started this podcast I'd ever be asking anyone about their son's menopause journey. But of course, going through that process of changing gender has all sorts of hormonal consequences.
Absolutely. And interestingly, although my group doesn't allow males, and it was hard for me to articulate that because it was very, very important to me that I created a safe space that was confidential for women to talk to each other. Law does belong. So if anybody looks at the stats of the group, I think there's 0.01 male in the group. And somebody asked once, and I said, yes, that's my son, who was born a woman. So that's why. Law's journey for transgender started in around 2013. He came to me and told me how he was feeling. And it was in 2016, which coincidentally was the year when I kind of got a little bit more involved, well, a lot more involved. He started taking his hormones to change into male. And that involves two stages. He has to have injections every 3 months back then to block his estrogen, and then take testosterone gel, which he rubbed onto his body, to make his male hormones. And so I got to thinking, well, actually, it didn't actually make the connection straight away, but I used to go with him to appointments for support and things like that. And I thought, actually, if his estrogen is being blocked, surely he's going to start suffering menopause symptoms. He hasn't now. He had a womb at the time. So he is going to have all the things associated with menopause, because he is going to go through it, because he can't change the fact that he's got a female body. Not overnight, anyway.
And how did that manifest for him? You know, was it similar to you? Did he have the hot flushes?
Yes, hot flushes. Some of it was very difficult to differentiate between his body dysphoria and the mental anxiety which came with that, and the anxiety that was brought on by his hormones. While he was starting to go through it and, you know, acknowledging what was happening and telling the world. It was, you know, an extremely difficult time. But I did feel that being able to talk to him, mum to child, meant that I could support him and we could share the symptoms and what happens. You know, I used to joke, God, on one hand, I've got Kevin the teenager, because you're taking testosterone to become a boy. And on the other hand, I've got a middle-aged Madge who's going through the menopause because you've been flung into the menopause. It was just, oh my goodness me. It was a very, very challenging time. Very challenging.
It sounds it. I mean, it sounds like if you made that as a sitcom, people would be like, that's not too far-fetched. That couldn't happen.
You're right, actually. You're right. Yeah. You know, the he and the she. I mean, there was a little bit in the middle where he wasn't sure and he was gender neutral. So we had they, them and there. And that was even more difficult. So when he actually said to me, I am going to be male. And I just found it. I said, oh, right. OK. And he went, is that all you're going to say? I said, oh, at last I can buy a card that says son on it. And I can say he. I said, because it's been a nightmare, you know, and we laughed about it. So humour is very important in life, definitely in situations that we have to go through anyway.
I think it's really important for us to talk about some of the amazing things that have happened since the earlier stages of your menopause journey, which sounds like it was very bleak and very dark. You learnt to swim when you were 49.
Yeah, my marriage had just broken up and a close friend of mine said to me, come swimming with me, you know. Bless her, she has no idea what she did for me, you know, and I absolutely love it. And, you know, it's very important to keep up regular exercise. I always try and impress this on women, you know, even if it's only walking to the end of the garden or, you know, walking the dog, you know, any fresh air, even go and stand in the fresh air. Vitamin D, it's free, you know. Yeah, I learned to swim. I was very, very nervous when I first went because I couldn't really swim. You know, as somebody said, Leslie was the kind of swimmer who did doggy paddle with a full face of makeup. And that was so true. You know, I had time on my hands, time on my own, and I just decided to go for it. And so I learned to swim. I learned to cycle. I started doing triathlon. I got to half Ironman. And my greatest achievement was in 2016, I took part in the Thames Marathon and I swam 9 miles. I would never have done that before because I just feel that what ladies need to realise is that the menopause isn't the end. It's the beginning of a different part of your life. You become, once you start to manage your symptoms, whether that's by HRT or natural remedies, for me, it's HRT all the way, not only because it gave the estrogen back into my body, but because it supports your heart, it supports your bones. There's many women in their 70s and 80s now with hip replacements. My mum's just had a hip replacement. She, you know, did nothing about her menopause, just endured it. And so for me, it's important to embrace what the menopause gives you, and that is a new way of living your life.
I always say, you know, people talk about when you've had a very difficult time. People always say, you know, time is a great healer.
And
when I was going through a really difficult period a few years ago, someone said to me, actually, it's change that is the great healer. And I thought that's so true, because actually just waiting for things to be better sometimes isn't enough. You've got to make a change. And for you, learning to swim, and you know, and those changes, and suddenly accelerates, and that's why I think sometimes it feels like we're in a new phase of our life, because we kind of leapfrog into somewhere in this sort of rapid pace and you know, make things better for ourselves. And that certainly sounds like what you did. As you approach your 60th birthday, you seem to be living more of a life now than you probably were 15 years ago, by all accounts.
I'm me again, and I wasn't, you know, in 2009. I was a shell of a woman who didn't know anything other than a TV and a bottle of wine, probably, and going to work. And, you know, I still like wine. I love gin. But I've made my life. And, you know, I do say to people, it's such a cheesy thing to say, but you have to change the way you deal with the change, because otherwise you aren't going to feel any better. You've got to be the master of your own ship.
That's a lovely place to end. Thank you very much, Leslie Byrne, founder of Is It Hot In Here and all-round brilliant, kick-ass menopausal woman.
It's lovely to speak to you, Rachel. Thank you very much indeed for giving me the opportunity.
That was the wonderful Leslie Byrne, and you can find her supportive community group, Is It Hot In Here, on Facebook. Next week, we'll be exploring in more detail what it's like to go through the menopause as a trans man.
I started really bad with night sweats and things, waking up just absolutely drenched. And I was like, is this something I've ate? Is it something I've drunk? Is it stress? What is this? But the only thing that it could be is menopause. But you're going through a puberty and menopause at the same time. So you're like, am I grumpy because it's menopause? Am I irritable because it's menopause? Or is it testosterone, the puberty, the pain from surgery? And it's hard to work out what it all is.
That's Lee Hurley, writer, mouthpiece and trans man, talking about his experience of the menopause. And if you like the sound of that, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify or wherever you get yours. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Do send a message. We'd love to hear from you. Have a great week.